Today's Shir Masecht Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom. Amamah, we learned in the Brisa in our previous Shir, Gzela, if the Yarshim, who inherited from their father something that he had stolen, the Loch is Gzela Kayemis, if it's still in existence, Chayovin L'Shalom, they're obligated to pay. Ask the Gemara, Nemet have Tiyufta, Rabbi Bachama. Rabbi Bachama taught us yesterday that a Yoirish, halachically, is considered like a Lekeach, like somebody who purchased an item, meaning that there was a Shini Rishus. If there was a Shini Rishus, ask the Gemara, it should be considered that it's now on the ownership of the Yoirish, and not under the ownership of the Gazlan. If that's the case, why should they have to return it? Amalach Ram Bachama responds, Rami Bachama, Ki Tanya Hi Lifnei Yush. As we have been explaining, in order for it to become something stolen, to become the property of the person who's holding it, you have to have two conditions met. One condition is that there was Yush, and the other condition was that there was a Shini Rishus. So yes, as we've been learning, as soon as it becomes the Yoirish, we have a Shini Rishus, but we don't necessarily have Yiyush. And that is what the Gemara is saying, that we need to have both Yiyush and Shini Rishus. Says the Gemara, Rav Adabar Hava, Masla, the Rami Bachama, he taught the halacha that we're learning from Rami Bachama, ha, not regarding our Mishnah's din, where somebody stole and then he died and the Yorshim now are in possession of what he had stolen, but rather he learned it regarding Hilchus Ribbis and explains the Gemara, Hanich Lamavim Moshe Ribbis, if the father had left for them money that he had received as a Ribbis payment, even though the Yorshim are well aware that this is money that the father received as interest, which of course we know a Jew may not receive ribbis from another Jew, they still don't have to return it after the father's passing. Amar Rabbi Bachama, because Rabbi Bachama explained, Zois Ameris, this halacha that was saying that the Yorshim do not have to return the ribbis money, because Rishus Yorish, Rishus Lekech Dami, the Yorshim are considered that they are like a new, that they're not the person that received it, and therefore they don't have to return it. Rav Amar, Loyal Melech Rishus Yorish Lav Rishus Lekeach Dami. The halach is that a Yorish is not considered like a Lekeach. If that's the case, so just like the father had to return it, shouldn't the halach be that the children should also have to return it? Shani Hacham, because the Torah, when it teaches us the halacha of ribbis, domakra atikach miitai neshech v'tarbis, v'reisim al-kecha v'chai ochicha imach, explains the Gemara, hadaleki hech dehada behadach. In other words, the Torah is saying, return the ribbis, because as we know, what ribbis represents a situation with a person who had to pay the ribbis. It's a tough payment. That's why it's called neshach. It's called biting. It's very painful. Therefore, the person who paid ribbis is in a very uncomfortable position. And the Torah says, return it to him to make him come back into a comfortable position. But says the Gemara, l'dedei kamaze lechrana, the Torah says that only the father has this obligation. The person who actually received the ribbis has this obligation. Lebrei, Lemazalei Rachmana, but not to his children. There's an interesting machloikus rishonim. When we're saying that the children do not have to receive the ribbis, repay back the ribbis, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that they don't have to return it under any circumstances, or does it mean that if the father had collected the ribbis, as the Pashup Shad of Al Gemara is, the father had collected ribbis, and now the father passed away, that money that they inherited from the father, which the father had received as a ribbis payment, they don't have to return. But what happens if the father had lent money with interest, and after the father had lent money with ribis, the children collected that ribis obligation. So it wasn't that the father collected the money, it was the children who collected the money. But the obligation emanated from a loan that the father made. What will be the halacha then? Will the same halacha apply that they don't have to pay back because it's not their loan, it's not their ribis? Or maybe because they actually accepted, that took, were the ones that received the money, the halacha will be considered as if they received it and they have to pay it back. Says the Gemara, Manda Maslaya Braisa, the one that taught Rabbi Bechamis regarding the case of the Braisa, that they don't have this Braisa that we just learned, that children don't have to pay back ribis. Koshkere Masnitsin, certainly in the case of our Mishnah, the halacha will be that the gezel that the children received, they won't have to give back. Amanda Maslan Masnitsin, Avla Braisa, in the case of ribis, says the Gemara, Ram Bechama, that we will not necessarily say that the Yorish is like a Lekeach, and Karava Masnala, and maybe he'll hold like Rava, and he'll say that maybe Yorish is not Kurshus Lekeach. So our Gemara has introduced the concept of ribis. Rabbi Bechama says that this price is a proof that inheritance is considered a Rishini Rishus. So ask Taifus, how can we compare, and the Gemara, as we just learned, tried to compare the case that we're discussing of stolen goods, the case of our Mishnah, with interest. Says, ask Taifus, perhaps the children keep the interest payment because there's a much bigger difference between ribis and gezela. Yes, as we just explained, one is not supposed to give ribis. One is not supposed to collect ribis. But the person who gave ribis gave it willingly. So therefore, the person who receives it, if there's yish and shin rishus, that's why we could be more lenient. Gezela, however, represents something that was done improperly, stealing. And that's why we can't compare ribis to gezela. Answers Taisus, that since the Torah says that we're not allowed to lend money in interest, so interest payment is viewed as it was given in error, betos. And therefore, Rami Bachama has every right to compare ribis to gezela. The Rava, on the other hand, disagrees with Rami Bachama, and he says that children are exempt from ribis because of the special pasuk. The Gemara Masechta Kedushin, the Ritva actually, Masechta Kedushin Davav on Beis, discusses a case where a man gave a woman interest, money that he had collected in interest, for and gave it to a woman for Kedushin. The halacha is that Kedushin is a valid Kedushin, even though we're learning now that the person has to return interest. Asks the Machnach Frayim that if we're saying that money, that an explanation of Rami Bachama's opinion, that interest money is considered like stolen money, the halach is that if one were to be Mekadosh and Isha with interest money, with money that he stole, it would not be a valid Kedushin. So why does the Ritva say that if someone is Mekadosh a woman with money that he received as interest, it would be a valid Kedushin? Says the Nesivis, that the machlokes between Rami Bachama and Rava is exactly this nakuda, this point. Rami Bachama is of the opinion that money that was received in interest doesn't really belong to the person who received it. Rava disagrees, and he says that it does belong to him. It does belong to him, but the Torah has a new chiv, a new obligation to return it. So it's going to have to be according to this, that psak of the Ritva, that one can be Mekadosh a woman with interest money, will only be following the opinion of Rava and not Rami Bachama. Says the Matan Rabban, a goes for machlas bonof. If somebody stole something and stole food and he gave that food to his children to eat, p'turim milshalim. The children, and then the father passed away, the children do not have to pay back. Hiniach lefneim. However, if it was not consumed and it's still here, gedolim, if the children that are left are adults, chayovim l'shalom, they will have to pay back. Ktanim, but if the children that are left are ktanim, p'turim l'shalom. V'amr gedolim, but if the children who are adults make a statement, ein anu yodim cheshbon shechishev evane imach, we don't know anything about our father's affairs. And since we don't know anything about our father's affairs, there's a real possibility that our father had already paid you back. Then, p'turim de potter. Ask the Gemara, Mishum damri ein on yodim, just because they say that we don't know what is the status of our father's affairs, that's why p'turim. Maybe the person, why is this not considered the way most Rishonim learn in the Gemara, that this should be considered Bari Vishema. A Bari Vishema means that the father, that the person from whom the item was stolen is Bari, is certain that this money is owed to him. The Yarshim are saying, Ein anu yodim, we don't know. So that means that the Yarshim are a Shema. And don't we have Halacha throughout everywhere that we say Bari Vishem and Bari Adif? So of course we should follow the Nigzal. So many Rishonim asked the question that throughout Shas we also find a concept of Taninon, that we try to make a claim on behalf of the Yarshim. So over here, we could have also made claim on behalf of the Yarshim. And they could have said, would they have a migui, that they could have said that the father returned it. So the Baal Amar says a very interesting point, that even though there's a concept throughout Shas of Taninon, he says we don't apply Taninon on a claim that's unlikely. And the likelihood of somebody paying back the stolen object is unlikely, and therefore we don't make such a Taina on behalf of the father. The Ramban says that we do Taninon for any claim. But here there are Edim that know that the father, when he died, had the Gzela still in his possession, and therefore that claim could not be made. So again, Mishum da Amri Eino Yedoidim, the Gemara goes back to its question, how can we say that they should be absolved? Why would they be potter? Why is this not considered a Bari V'Shema? Amarava Hachikama, the Doilam Shamri Yedoidim Anu Kol Cheshbena Shechishev Inu, we're certain about all of our father's affairs with you. And we know our father owed you nothing. Then the halacha will be p'turim that departed from paying, because they're holding on to the item and they are a bari. And the one, when we have a situation, a bari with bari, we file the one that's muchzik. Tanya idach, continues the Gemara. And goes l'macha as bonof, if somebody stole something and gave it to his children to eat, p'turim milshalim. Hinich lefneim. However, if the father had never given it to them, the father passed away, and it's now here amongst his possessions, v'ochlam, and they ate this item after the father passed away, d'aloch is ben gedolim ben ketanim, whether they're adults or not adults, the chaya of them, they have to pay. Ask the Gemara, but ketanim mechayvi, why would we obligate the ketanim to pay? They should not be any worse than somebody who was damaged somebody else. And we learned early in our Masechta that a cotton, pigiyasin ra, that if a cotton does damage, he's exempt. Yes, if they had already consumed it and they're ketanim, they're potter, because a cotton is always potter. Here we're speaking about a case where loy ochlam, Diana consumed it, and therefore the right thing is, the halachic requirement is, ben gedolim ben ketanim, it doesn't make a difference if the children are gedolim ketanim, they have to return, the heshiv is a gzela, they have to return what was stolen to the owners. Amarova, hinich lefneim parashula, the father had a cow that he had borrowed, and there's no argument, everybody knows that this is a borrowed cow. But the father passed away in the middle of the term of his bowing this cow. They may use this cow throughout the period that it was borrowed for. Mesa. But on the other hand, if it dies, they will not be chay for einsam. We know that normally the halach is that a shoyl, if you borrow something, a shoyl is chayiv and einsam, a shoyl is chayiv for all accidents may even happen. Here, that's not the halach. So of course, the Rishonim already asked the question. There's a concept that we've learned of ein ritzoin shaping doni b'dayat acher. If somebody left something by someone to watch, he could say, I'm comfortable with you, and I'm comfortable with you watching it, but I'm not comfortable with you, somebody else watching it. And therefore, why could the children automatically take over that loan? So the Rashba answers that the concept of a very interesting teretz. When do we say, ein ritzoini sheheb doni b'yad acher? Is only by something which is not normally given to someone else. So when it's not given to someone else, so the father, the person who gave it could say, you I trusted, and to you I entrusted this object, no one else. But if the object that's being discussed is something that is always lent, then you don't say, en ritzoini shidei acher. Others explain that there's a difference between something which was lent and something which was given for safekeeping. Something which was given for safekeeping, so you I trust to watch, another person I don't trust to watch. But when it's something that was given to be lent, then the halacha is that it's meant to be lent. So if you can't use it, your family could use it. Another teretz that I saw is when the object was lent, it was explicitly said that it's non-transferable, and only you who borrowed it may use it, no one else. So then, only the person who actually borrowed it may use it, no one else. But if the person who lent the object did not make this type of a stipulation, so there the halacha tells us that he obviously understood that that the family will use it as well. How long can they use it? So the Rashi says that as long as if there was a condition set when the object was borrowed, they made up an amount of time for how long it could be used, that's for how long they could use it. If there was no specific time that was identified, so many Rishonim say that Stam Shela is Shloshim Yoim, and they could use it for 30 days. There are Rishonim that say that since there was no time indicated at the beginning of this period of lending it, we can't just put on here Stam Shela Shloshim Yoim. So we learned Mesa, if it dies, Ein Chayovim Ben Seho. So Rashi explains, because when is a Shoyel Chayiv and Einsim? When he was the Shoyel. And since he was the Shoyel, a Shoyel accepts upon himself when he becomes a Shoyel that he has to be obligated to pay even for the Einsim. But since these children never explicitly accepted upon themselves that they shall be the Shoyel, so then the halacha is that doesn't apply. Says the Rashba that that's only if the Mashal didn't say anything today to them after the father passed away. But the Rosh says that if the person who owns this object tells the children, you can continue using it, but I'm making it very clear to you, you will be held responsible for Einsim, then they will be held responsible for Einsim. Then, so Einsim, the Gemara said, the children will not be held responsible. What about Geneva Ba'aveda? So many Rishonim say that they will be chayiv for Geneva Ba'aveda, because they become like a Shoyma Tzacha. The Ramban, however, disagrees. The Ramban says that since they never explicitly became the Shoymrim, since they never explicitly became the Shomrim, says the Ramban, they won't be Chayiv. And Ramban says a Chiddush, that even though we know that even a Shomer Chinam is Chayiv and Pshia, the Ramban says they won't be Chayiv even, they won't be Chayiv even for a Pshia. The Shulchan Aruch says that even if they use the animal, they won't be Chayiv for Einzim, but they will be Chayiv as a Shomer Socher. And not only will they be Chayiv as a Shomer Socher, which means that they'll be Chayiv for Gneiva Aveda, but, says the Shulchan Aruch, even if they didn't begin using it, as soon as it transferred into their possession upon the death of their father, they will be Chayiv in Gneiva Aveda. The Shaul Tshuvas Rashba says that they're never going to be Chayiv in Einzim, and as far as Gneiva Aveda, he says, then they won't. They will only be chayiv as shomer socher if they actually started using it. But as far as pshi is concerned, the Ratva says they will be chayiv immediately for this object if they were negligent with it, even if they didn't use it. Continues the Gemara. Ksurim shalavimhe. The father had a cow which he had borrowed, but they assumed that this father, that the cow belonged to the father, and because of that, tafchu v'chluu, they ate it. And now the owner of the cow says, well, this wasn't your father's cow. It was my cow. They pay what the cheaper price of meat. But if the father had left over real estate, then not only must they pay for the cow, but they have to pay for the cow. So Tosfos asks, this Tosfos supports Tosfos' opinion throughout our Masechta. They're a mazik. They took somebody else's cow. And we've learned in our Masechta that other mu'ud loylam, a person's always responsible for the damage that he causes. So why should this not be considered a case of mu'ud loylam, other mu'ud loylam? So the answer is Tosfos' position, that this is a case of oynas gomer. They had no way of knowing that this cow did not belong to the father, and there we don't apply the concept of oynas gomer. The question is that the Ramban, who says that by mazik there is no adam hamazik, there is no exemption of oynas gomer, how will the Ramban explain our Gemara? Because so it says, so the Achronim in defending the Nachlas David, in defending the opinion of the Ramban, says that there's another concept here. The chazakah, that we have a chazakah, koma shedachas yadai, anything that's in my possession is mine. And therefore, since the father had that chazakah, that strengthens that the children should have to be allowed to eat it. So we said, m'shalmim demei bosses b'zol, that means the halach is, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you pay two-thirds of the value. But Rashi also continues saying that the meat that was eaten, so they only pay two-thirds of the value of the meat. But as far as the or is concerned, the hide, there Rashi says they have to return the hide to the owner. Says the Gemara, ikedemastan lei resha. So the Gemara just had made a statement. So some say it's referring to the case of Einzim, that even though we said that if the father, that they had this borrowed object, they did not chayv an Einzim, but if there's real estate, they would have to pay for the Einzim. As we just learned, that they have to pay, that if the father left real estate and they had eaten the animal that was not their father's, then they have to pay in full. Says the Gemara, man de masna la resha, in the case of Einzim, that if there's real estate, they have to pay. The koshkein a sefer. In the case of the resha, the halach is that they did not become obligated. And still was saying, they never became shomrim, as we keep on repeating. And still was saying that if there's real estate, they have to pay in full. And the sefer for sure. Pligid rapapa. And according to this, this will be a disagreement that would wrap up. We'll see that in a moment. Amanda Masna is safer. Only in the safer, if there's real estate, must they pay in full. Avaresha loy, but in the resha, when they're not chai for oinsim, even if there's real estate, the hainad Rav Papa. And that's exactly what Rav Papa taught us. What does that mean? What did Rav Papa teach us? Dom Rav Papa, hoi sapar genuvaloi. Somebody had a stolen cow from Erev Shabbos, the tavcha b'Shabbos, and he did the tvich on Shabbos, chayiv. So the question is, we've learned throughout our masechta, the concept of kim lebed rabbinay. When somebody does two averis and he has two and he's facing two punishments, we only give him the more severe punishment. So here he was a mechal Shabbos. Why does he also have to pay dalvehe? So explains Rav Papa, shekvah chayiv b'geneva, the chiyuv for the geneva came kodem shedavel ve'itz Shabbos. The chiyuv for geneva came before Shabbos. The tficha mechira was only in Shabbos. If the tficha mechira was in Shabbos, so why should you have to pay it? Says the Gemara, because the dalv ve'hei represents two parts to the payment of dalv ve'hei. One part of the payment of the dalv ve'hei is the keren, and one part of the dalv ve'hei is the extra above the keren. So says Rav Papa, the keren payment is mammon, and by mammon we say the aloch is kimle midrabbinay. The dal v'hei is not a mammon payment. The dal v'hei is a knas payment above what you actually did, and by knas, for what he did on Shabbos, there's only knas payment. There we don't say kimle midrabbinay. Continues Rav Papa. Hoysa parashuloi. But let's say somebody had borrowed a cow with tafcha b'Shabbos and then he shechted on Shabbos potter. Shis a Shabbos v'is a gnei b'loin ke'echad. So we see that, and therefore we'll say kimle b'rabnei, and he'll get misa for chil Shabbos. So we see that according to Rav Papa, the obligation of a shoyl doesn't come at the moment of the shayla. It comes at the moment of the oinus. And therefore, it comes at that moment. And these people, as we said, the children, aren't shoyalim. Tarabonim. The pasuk says, v'heshev ezgzeila shegozol. Ma tam aloim ashegozol. Obviously, we're speaking about a stolen item. Why does the Torah have to add the words ashegozol? Says the Gemara, yachsa kein shegozol. That the aloch is, you only have to return it as it was when you stole it. Bikar amru. Therefore, teach us Chazal. Hagoyzel machlos bonav, the din that we began our perek with. If somebody stole and gives it to his children, peturim milashalim, they don't have to pay. Hanich lefneim, but if the father left the object still whole in extent, ben gedolim ben ketanim chayovim. Shem sumcha amru, gedolim chayovim, gedolim have to repay it if it's still as it was, ketanim peturim. Says the Gemara. Barchamud Rav Yimya, the son of the father-in-law of Rav Yimya, Tarek Galei B'Aped Rav Yimya, he closed the doors in front of Rav Yimya, not to allow Rav Yimya to enter, because his father, the father-in-law of Rav Yimya, had passed away, and Rav Yimya wanted to take possession of that home, and as we're going to see, what was Rav Yimya's claim, and the son of Rabbi Yirmiyah's father-in-law, his brother-in-law, who was still a cotton, did not want Rabbi Yirmiyah to take that possession. So that's why he closed the door, also to not let Rabbi Yirmiyah in. Also, kamed Rav Avin, so says the Gemara, he went to Rav Avin, Amma Shaloy Taveya, and he said to Rav Avin, the child wants to keep the house because he's the Yerush of his father. Amalei, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said, "For my sin is Sahadi, I could bring Edom that I bought this house for my father-in-law. Not only had I bought the house for my father-in-law, I lived in that house for 3 years. And if you live in the house for 3 years, you have a chazaka. Once I have a chazaka, it's mine." Amalei. So Rav Avin said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, "V'chim kabel edim shleim b'fnei din." When we have it in Torah, and that becomes now the subject of our discussion, that when you have it in Torah, you have to have both parties there, and a katan, even though he's Baruch Hashem alive, but he's not considered halachically there. So since he's not considered halachically there, how could you have a din Torah in front of him? So Rabbi Yemri said, Veloy, is that the halacha v'ktani ben gedolim ben ktanim chayovim? That if somebody stole something and what he's stolen is still here, then even the ktanim have to pay. Amalei, so Rabbi Avin said, Harei mechloikus sumchus v'tzitcha. Sumchus, as we just learned, that holds ktanim don't have to pay. So said Rabbi Yemri, ich bekula alma, is everybody trying to follow the opinion of sumchus, even though the Rabbanon disagree with sumchus? Why should this not be considered a case of a yochid v'rabim with alochis k'rabim? Lefukin l'didi, and he said, you're obviously doing this just to not let me get this property, and that is unacceptable. Adahachi, says the Gemara, Igel Gamilsa, as this was going on, Vaso Matl Kamed Ravua, they came to Ravua. Amma, so Ravua said, Lo Shmiloch, have you not heard Hod Rav Yosef Bachama Amar Boshia? Dom Rav Yosef Bachama Amar Boshia, Tinek, Shaya, Shetokef Avodov. If somebody, if we have a cotton that had Avodim, and he took somebody, and he took with the help of his Avodim, he took his servants and he went in to somebody's property, and he says, this property belongs to me. Ein oimrim, the halacha does not say, namtum nach yagdol, let's wait till he becomes an adult. Ela maitzim yod miyad, we immediately take it away from him. Uchshiagdol, and when he will become an adult, yavi edim, then we'll have it in Torah, venira. So we see that even though he is a cotton now, we don't just take that into consideration and ignore everything else. There's a machloikus rishonim, Raivad and Ramban. We said that the cotton, we take it away from the cotton, we just don't leave it by the cotton and say, well, we have to wait till it becomes a gadol. But what's going to be halacha if the cotton says, I could bring edim to support my position? What will be the halacha then? So the Ravid says, even though he's a cotton, if he says that he has edim to support his position, we'll accept and we'll let him bring the edim and see what they have to say. The Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says that a cotton never has the halachic ability to participate in an entire. So even if the cotton is saying, I have edim that will support my position, we ignore what they say. Midami, ask the Gemara, is this the same as what Rabbi Yishu said? Maybe in the case where the cotton took somebody else's property, so we take it away from him. Because he had no chazakah to support his position. Aval hecha, in our case, where this was a property that was owned by the brother-in-law's father, Rabbi Yirmiyah's father-in-law. This like chazakah davua, so he has a chazakah davua to his father's chazakah to back him up. Maybe loy, we don't take him away, and we have to wait till he's a gadol. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Ashi, Omer Rav Shabsoi, Mekabim Edim Shlo Bifnei Baldin. We could accept Edim without both parties there. Torba Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan didn't understand. V'chi Mekabim Edim Shlo Bifnei Baldin, is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, Kibble Menei, Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina accepted what he said, Kegon Shehu Chayla. In a situation where a Baldin is a Chayla, or aid of chaylim, or the edim are sick, or she edim of action leilch medina siyam, the edim are going to travel overseas, the shochalei, and they called him to din Torah for loyba. So there's a machloikus rishonim. What does it mean that the person is a chayla? Who is the chayla? Rash, the Rishvah says that the toveya is a chayla, and right now he's concerned that he may pass away, and because he's going to pass away, he wants to have the din Torah when he could still make his claims. There are other rishonim that say that the nitva is a chayla, and the concern here is that since we're learning that we can have a din Torah only when the nitfah is present. And even if we're going to say we can have the din Torah when the nitfah is not present, but the psak has to be issued only when the nitfah is present, and there's a concern that the nitfah may not survive. Tosfos also says that the way to understand the Gemara, that to accept a din Torah, to accept Edim, even though both parties aren't there, it's a shas ha-tchak. The way to learn the Gemara is that there's all these different situations, sick, etc., traveling overseas, and also that he was called and didn't come. So according to Tosfos, both conditions have to be met to be able to have the din Torah without both parties there. There are those that disagree and say the Shochel of Leiba is not a continuation with a second condition, but rather the way to learn Shochel of Leiba is another example where you could have a din Torah without both parties present. That means one time, one example of having a din Torah without both parties present is all the first cases that they're sick, etc. And the other example for which you could have a din Torah even though both parties aren't there is Shalchaloi, when they called him to come to the din Torah of Leiba and he didn't come. That's a reason to be able to have the din Torah without also them there. Amar of Yehuda Mishmul. You can accept Edim without the other party there. What does that mean? They already started having it in Torah, and the Toveya wants to call Edim, and as he wants to bring the Edim, he wants the Nitva to be there for that session. And the nitva refuses to show up. So then the halach is that you could bring the edim even though the nitva is not there. However, loy paskle bedina, if the din Torah has not even begun, matza amalei says the gemara the nitva can always say anol bezdin gedol zilna. I don't want to go to this bezdin. So ask the gemara if that's the right of the nitva, and the nitva could always say I want to go to another bezdin. So why, ihachi, if that's the case, kipaskle nami matzavale, even if the din Torah has commenced, why should he not be able to say, lebezdin godlasilna, I want to go to a different bezdin? Amarava, kigoin, the noka discha mi bezdin agodl, that the bezdin agodl, to where he wants to go, had written a document saying that I want that you, bezdin, wherever this other bezdin is, should take over this case. Tosfos says that who has a right to say, I want to go to a different bezdin, says only the nitva has that right. But the toveya doesn't have the right. The Rebbeinu Tam disagrees. Rebbeinu Tam says there's no reason to differentiate between the nitva and the toveya. Says the Gemara, we've learned many times, particularly in Masechet Ksubos, that there's a concept of kiyum shtaros, certifying a shtar. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami, kiyum shtar shloi b'fnei baldin. You could do kiyum shtaros without the loiva being there. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ein mekayim shtar shloi b'fnei din, the loiva has to be there. Amar Rav Sheshet Rav Rabbi Yosef Barvu, as b'lach tamid Rabbi Yochanan, even though the halach is that, as we've been learning throughout our shir, ein mekayim edim elefnei baldin. So the question is, how can we do kiyum shtaros not in the presence of the loiva? Dama kra, so it says, because the pasuk says by shar amud v'mshar nagachu mitmal shilshim v'huad bebalav v'lo yishmerena, that a shar cannot become a shar unless the owner of the shar is there. Amr tayra yavish b'ashar v'yamr al shayre, the owner has to be there. And says the Gemara, that's the same thing regarding the halacha of kiyum. He says the same thing would be regarding kiyum shtaros. Amar Rav Hilchasa, b'kayim shtar v'shloi b'fnei baldin. You don't have to have the loiva there. V'filu oimid v'tzaveich, even if the loiva is saying that this is a full shtar. However, the halacha is we are b'kayim the shtar. And the reason the Rishonim explain is because a shtar doesn't really need kiyum. And this entire concept of kiyum shtaros is somewhat of a chumrah. And therefore, we don't have to have the Edom there. Amar Rava, the Loiva there. Amar Rava, Hilchsam Kaim Sashtar, Shloim Efnei Baldin. But Fila Oimiv et Sameach. And even if the Loiva is saying that this is a false document, it doesn't make a difference. However, Vim Omar, if the Loiva said, Nikita Lezimna, give me an extension, Ad my Sinis Adi, until I can bring Edom, Omarana Leil Shtar, and I will be able to prove that this Shtar is false, Naktinalei. We give him that extension. He also, if he shows up with the Edom, great. Eloy also, but if he doesn't, Natrinalei Bahab, we wait another Monday, and Eloy also, and if he doesn't come, then the loch is that the Shtar is verified, and Kesfina Pischalei, and they Bezdin writes a Nidui, a Cherim on him, that he's not paying off his obligation. And then we wait Tishyom for 90 days until we actually go to his property and foreclose on the property. Why do we wait 90 days? Says the Gemara, the first 30 days we don't foreclose on his property. He's trying to find money to pay off his obligation. Mitzi, the next 30 days, we don't go foreclose on his property. We're saying maybe he couldn't find money. So now, because he couldn't find money, he's trying to sell the property himself, trying to get a good deal. The Katarach Umazbin. Because during the 30 days, perhaps he was successful in finding a customer. Now the customer has to get them funds to pay him. But if the 90 days he doesn't come, we foreclose on his property. So the Mashah says, what did the Gemara? The Gemara could have just said that the halach is we wait 90 days until we foreclose. The Gemara didn't say that we wait 90 days until we foreclose. The Gemara gave all these explanations. Says the Mashal that we only wait 90 days if we know that the person is indeed trying to pay up his obligation. But if trying to sell or do something, if the person is not doing anything, then we don't wait 90, we don't give him the 90-day extension. However, says the Gemara, the Hanimili, all these times, the Monday, Thursday, Monday, the 90 days, is only Dom Asina, I will come to Bezdin. However, if he said, Lo Asina, I refuse to come to Bezdin, says the Gemara, La'alta Kasvinan, then we write this, we foreclose immediately. Furthermore, the Hanimim Milva, in a case of a loan, Al Bikodin, in a case of a Bikodin, La'alta Kasvinan, we write and right away. Why? Because if I borrow money, so the concept is there's halacha milva loytzar nitnu. Money that's borrowed is meant to be spent. Since money that's borrowed that's meant to be spent, and now he doesn't have the ability to pay back, so we give him the opportunity, the time to pay back. Bikadin means I'm watching something that belongs to someone else. If I'm watching something that belongs to someone else, so then what am I? I don't have to sell it. I just should return it, and therefore these extensions are not offered. Furthermore, says this halacha that we write this foreclosure document is only on real estate. Avo metatalei, we don't write that on metatlan. Because we're worried that if we're going to be strict and give the metatlan immediately to the malva, and as soon as we give the metatlan to the malva, he'll consume it. V'chiyasu love ma'isasade or marilishdara. And then the loiva will come and be able to disqualify this document, but it'll be too late. Lemishtak midich lenigba. Vilisle karak lemalva. However, if the malva owns property, and it turns out that the malva consumed these metatlin improperly, then kasvinin. Says mar v'loihu. But says mar that, because then the loiva will always be able to collect from those real estate. But says the word that is not the halacha. A drachta a metatlin am kasvinin. If the malva took metatlin, for metatlin we don't write an adrachta. Avgav this the mekarker, even if the malva has karka, because we need to be concerned, shchinin shematachsev, that the property will go down in value, and then this person won't have from where to collect the obligation. Says the Gemara furthermore, drachten, when we write for the malva a document that he could collect from the loiva, we have to notify the loiva of so. Only if he's within, close by, one day's travel. If he's far away, we don't have to notify him. But if he's far away, but he has relatives here that can notify. There's much communication between these two places. We wait 12 months. Because they had travel, but they didn't travel all the time. So we give them up to 12 months to come. Ravina waited for Maracha 12 months. Until he was able to arrive with travel plans from Bechazoi. V'loihi. Hasam in a shalimaha. Maracha was a very strong person. If we would hand over an adrachta to him, it would be impossible to ever get back if it turns out that he had no right to collect. Aval hacham in a reg with a regular people, learn a trinalei. We don't wait. Ella ad also shlich betlos shabsa. We give the shlich an opportunity to go on Tuesday, vasa ba'arba shabsa, and come back on Wednesday. And then we know the batei dinim were in session Monday and Thursday. And on Thursday, so the dintari began on Monday. We notified the loiva Tuesday, Wednesday, and then on Thursday, kai bedinei, he has to be there for the dintari. Amar Ravina, hashlucha de berabonin, a shliach bezdin that went to summon somebody to come to Dintaira, and he says that he's refusing to come to Dintaira, we trust him as if he was two Edom. He has no reason to lie, and we accept what he said. What does that mean? L'shamta, that we should put this person who refused to come to Dintaira into Cheirim. Avel Pischa, to write Cheirim, but not written Cheirim. Avla psicha, to write a written chayra, kiven the monika chasalei, they were taking, that's really much stronger of a punishment, the kabbalah mesel azuzel safra, because he's going to have to ultimately pay, the person against whom this document is being written, is going to have to pay the cipher for the fee of writing that document. Then we can't just rely on a shliach bezdin himself, we would need to have edim, for him to back up the claim that this person is refusing to come to Dintaira.